compassion they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Straight for today with bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Oh, God is so faithful.
Thank you. Amen. Amen.
I only met Mrs. Asia just this week, and she agreed to come and sing. In fact, I was so impressed with her singing, I said to her, you sound even better than me. Amen. 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 Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Let's give her another hand. Amen. Today we celebrate motherhood and womanhood and show our appreciation and our gratitude as well. Journey with me on yesterday about 7:30 a.m. I stopped off at Wally's World. Some of you will get that on the way home. All right. And I noticed there were people who had gravitated around one particular section. You know what that section was? The card section. And that immediately let me know that it was time for Mother's Day and folks were dealing with all the chaos as those who waited the last minute, the last moment to take care of mom. Well, when we celebrate Father's Day in June, you won't have to worry about those lines at Wally World. Amen? Amen. Mother's Day brings folks from near and far to celebrate and to have a sense of appreciation for motherhood or womanhood, because there are many women who have never actually given birth to a child or children, and yet they continue to mentor and support children and families. So today we honor you, we show our appreciation Folks will receive text messages or phone calls or emails and have already received some and still have more to share and coming your way. But it reminds me of a gentleman who wanted to find and purchase the best gift for his mother. He wanted to make sure he had the exact gift, the favorite gift for mom. He wasn't concerned about the price. He was able to afford any and every type of gift. So he decided to go into a pet store. And while he perused that pet store, he noticed there was a talking bird, a very unusual bird. In fact, this bird could whistle Amazing Grace. And he knew his mother would love to hear that bird whispering early in the morning, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Well, this bird also could recite, without even having a Bible, the 23rd Psalm. And he knew his mother would be impressed with that, that he could start off by sharing that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, this bird indeed fascinated this man, so he decided to purchase it. When he got to the county, he discovered it cost $30,000. But he said, that gift is for mom. He wrote the check. He was able to walk out of the store with the bird. He decided to go and have that bird shipped overnight to his mother. Mother's Day was soon to come. Oh, with anticipation, he waited and waited, knew his mother had received the gift that he had given. And so he decided on Mother's Day, I'm going to call her. Indeed, Mother's Day rolled around. He called his mother. He said, Happy Mother's Day. How did you enjoy the bird? She said, oh, it was delicious. All right. All right, enough of that. All right. Well, Mother's Day, we do want to make sure we have the right gift. Well, let me call your attention as it relates to your first bullet point that you have in your sermon notes. And it asks this question as it relates to Mother's Day. What happened on May 10, 1908? Look at your neighbor and ask this question. What happened on May 10, 1908? I'm glad you asked. Anna Jarvis decided out of her pain, out of her own despair, out of her own grief, to acknowledge her mother, not just her mother, but all mothers. She was a member of Andrew Methodist Church in West Virginia. And she wanted a special day to honor all mothers. That day, that moment there, caught sail. In fact, it was Catherine Anthony who was writing her dissertation, and she'd done the research on Mrs. Anna Jarvis, and she acknowledges that Anna didn't want a day that was commercialized. She wanted a day that would really pay honor to mothers. Well, it caught sail. In fact, it caught wind. So much so that President Woodrow Wilson, on May 9, 1914, proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. A national public expression of love to mothers. Well, we celebrate that day even now. And it's a great reminder that how in the midst of our own pain, our own struggling, as we celebrate mothers who have outrun us to our Father's house, we give thanks for them. Mothers who have demonstrated the faithfulness of God. Mothers who have demonstrated the unconditional love of God. We honor them today. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that my mother prayed for me. Mothers take time out and take care of their responsibilities and their sacrifices to make a difference in the lives of not only their children, but other people's children as well. Oh, you just look closely as it relates to the next bullet point. And this bullet point actually comes from Forbes magazine. Forbes magazine that focuses on wealth and focuses on the economy, you name it. They came up with this survey and they asked this question. Think you can put a price on motherhood or womanhood? Each year for the last 16 years, now 17, they have come up with a concept of how much mothers should be paid as it relates to a salary during the course of a year. I kid you not. And they've come up with this year and stated that a mother with all of their responsibilities in the home should be paid $117,000 just by being a mother. I want to tell my mother that's only a survey. Amen. 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 It's a clear reminder that motherhood is priceless. Womanhood is priceless. We can't really count the number of sacrifices, the number of steps, the number of days that they have sacrificially given up something that they so desire to make a difference in the lives of their offsprings or someone else's children. It's a clear reminder that we indeed should appreciate them and celebrate their faithfulness. I want to call your attention to a mother who in the Bible, her name is very familiar. We talk about her, especially during Christmas time. Her name is Mary. And of course, you look in the Bible and you won't see a long biographical sketch of the life of Mary, but we do know that Mary is the mother of Jesus. And of course, our scriptural passage remind us as it comes from the gospel according to John, how important it is for us to remember the relationship Jesus had with his mother. Now, we have a men's Bible study that meets on Monday and early in the morning or in that evening, and we're studying the book, the Gospel of John. And one theological term that we have noticed and we're acknowledging, and the author acknowledges as well, is Christology. And it focuses, as John writes his interpretation of his experience and his relationship and his focus with Jesus, on the Christology, how Christ comes in human flesh and skin and lives and dwells among us, but also how Christ had deity. He was indeed the Son of the true and living God. How do we know? Look at Mary's life. You remember it is Mary. It is Mary who receives the news from the angel called Gabriel. Oh, during Christmas time, we talk about the nativity scene. We talk about all that was going on in and around the manger scene. But before that, remember, it was Mary who received words from the angel Gabriel. And if you have your Bibles, look at Luke chapter 1 and the 26th verse. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, Mary was upset, and it was the angel Gabriel who appeared unto her and said, "Fear not, Mary. Fear not, Mary. Thou art highly favored. Blessed art thou among women. The Lord is with you." Isn't it good to know that the Lord is with you? "Blessed art thou among women. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins." Now, Mary cast in her mind, what type of salutation, what type of greeting is this? But the angel wanted her to fear not. Just calm down, Mary. Chill out if you will. He didn't say chill out. But he was calming her down to let her know that indeed you have been the chosen vessel, the vehicle for Jesus' grand entrance into the world. And Mary carried in her womb the Savior through that long journey. And then she gave birth to Jesus. But can you imagine the heavy load, the heavy responsibility Mary had waiting on her shoulders? Mary would have to take Jesus into her home along with Joseph. And they would have to help raise Jesus, help Jesus to develop not only as a boy, but also as a man, the Son of the true and living God. Mary would see him do amazing things, would see him call 12 disciples known as followers to come and follow him. She was able to witness him do all types of miracles and wonderful things, and people would flock from nowhere just to hear him preach and to share. But also it was Mary, his mother, would hear that they wanted to arrest her son. They said her son was going against the will of God and also the custom of the day. The religious leaders wanted to arrest him and crucify him. She had to hear all that. In fact, she did more than that. She witnessed that. And so here now, Jesus Christ, her son, is on a cross like a regular criminal, a public display. They pierced him in his side. Water and blood came from his side. She witnessed that. She witnessed Jesus share, as it relates to the cross, 7 statements. She witnessed Jesus' first statement that he shared was to the Father. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." She witnessed his second statement. What was his second statement? It was to a thief. He said, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." But all look at her third statement. It's right here in the text. It was these words that Jesus shared on the cross in the midst of his own pain, in the midst of them crucifying him on the cross. Jesus stated 7 statements. If you look at the footnotes on your sermon notes, they're listed here. But listen to these words, the third word. He said, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to John, his beloved disciple, "Behold your mother." In the midst of his pain, in the midst of dealing with all of that situation that he was now facing and experiencing, cruciating pain for your sins and my sins, sins he'd never committed, but he was willing to die for the sins of the whole world. Praise be to God. Look at Jesus. Can you imagine? Picture yourself in the text. Picture yourself on the cross. What would you have been doing? His focus was not inward. He had an outward focus. He noticed his mother. Out of all the people in the crowd, he had noticed his mother, and he shares these words with his mother. "Behold your son." And he shares with John, "Behold your mother." That word, "behold," you might want to underscore that word. And if you look closely at the text, you will see that John indeed would take care of Mary. But that word, "behold," is a key word. Now, if you don't have a King James translation, and these new translations are good because they help us understand the Bible more clearly. But in the King James translation, over 1,300 times we have that word, "behold." It's actually a Hebrew and a Greek word. It means to see, to reveal, to look upon, to focus in, to acknowledge, to pay attention. Jesus is saying right here to Mary, "Behold your son." He's saying to John, "Behold your mother." It's a reminder for you and me how important that word is throughout Scripture. It first starts in Genesis, the first chapter, in the 29th verse. And then it concludes in the book of Revelation, that word, "behold." If you have your Bibles, if you like to write down this passage, look at Psalms 51 and the 5th verse. In Psalms 51:5, David, King David, the second king of Israel, David looked at his own life. How many of you know people Let me put my hands in my pockets. How many of you know people who can tell you about your business and what you need to do, but can't get theirs taken care of? Put your hands down. Nobody should have their hands up. Amen. David looked at his own life. David shares these words. I was shapen in iniquity and born in sin. Did my mother conceive me? He looked at his own life, his own DNA. And if you read Psalms 51 in its entirety, you'll see around the 22nd verse, David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me, hallelujah, the joy of thy salvation. And then I will teach transgressors to repent unto you. You have your Bibles, write down this passage, John, the first chapter and the 29th verse. It was John who saw Jesus, his cousin, for the very first time. He had heard about him. He knew that he was connected to the family. John knew the stories that his mother Elizabeth said about Jesus, and now he sees him for the first time. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God, which comes to take away the sins of the whole world. For Israel, this Lamb was a symbol of the sacrifices to God. In fact, the meat of the Lamb was their food. The wool of the lamb was their clothing. And the bone of the lamb was their medicine. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the whole world. Let me conclude by sharing and encouraging you. Look at Revelations, the 3rd chapter and the 20th verse. Here's John writing again, because John gives us at least 3 of those citations in his own gospel that Jesus shared on the cross. And they are listed there in your sermon notes as it relates to I thirst and it is finished. Telestai. But in Revelations, the 3rd chapter and the 20th verse, John says, behold, he stands at the door and knocks. He's reminding us that Jesus is standing at the door of our hearts, and he's just knocking. He won't force his way in. In fact, if you read this passage in its entirety, you'll notice that there is no outside knob that Jesus can pull in and enter in. It's only on the inside. Inwardly, in our hearts, Jesus wants us to open the door and let him in. And then John says, he will sup with us. He will be with us. Isn't that good to know that our God is an omnipresent God? He'll be with us in good times and in bad times. He will continue to be with us. Amen? Look here. Jesus was on the cross for you and for me. But he was willing to demonstrate his love. Just like mothers demonstrate their love day in and day out. I don't know how many of you had an opportunity to read the Daytona Beach newspaper this morning. In the newspaper, there's a beautiful article as it relates to a mother who's dealing with her child who has some problems, but yet she's so happy. Why? Because that's her baby. And just like any other mother, doesn't matter what happens, that's still that mother's child. Look at the cross and see Jesus. In the midst of his pain, in the midst of dealing with grief and despair, Jesus says to his mother, mother, behold your son. Says to John, behold your mother. In the midst of what we're going through, it's always important to be a blessing to others. And that will bless your life. Amen. And so we give thanks that the hymnologist penned these words in hymn number 170. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because he first love me. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. We thank God for his faithfulness. Why don't you stand as we sing with joy and excitement this closing hymn, Oh, How I Love Jesus.